Welcome back to Crunch Time. It's time for the Crunch Exchange, brought to you by the Josh Cooley team of Keller Williams Realty. Alex presents the prospectus. Steve lets us know if he's buying, selling, or if it's pending. Sell your home worry-free with Josh Cooley, Keller Williams Realty.
Welcome back to the final segment of Crunch Time on a Wednesday. That means it is time for the Crunch Exchange. I'm going to give Steve some stories from around the world of sports. I'm going to give him some prospectuses, and he's
going to
tell me if he's
again.
Buying, selling, or if it's
telling
pending. Sometimes he actually says pending. Let us begin with the Blazers and Clippers. The Clips' best players' limbs seem to be flying off their bodies at an alarming rate. J.J. Redick can't walk. Blake Griffin's leg just straight fell off, and Chris Paul lost a hand. I don't think anything is actually physically wrong with DeAndre Jordan, but for some reason, he can't hit the rim on free throws. I think he has a bad case of dumb hands. They should probably just, amputate him. I don't know. But add on to that what has actually happened with LA, with what has actually happened with Golden State, and suddenly Portland looks like they could be in a nice position to earn themselves a shot at LaMarcus Aldridge and the Spurs, or Oklahoma City, in the Western Conference Finals. After all, Portland destroyed the Warriors during the regular season when they did have Steph playing. Might be putting the cart in front of the horse here, but the prospectus. Portland now has a better than 50-50 shot to make the Western Conference Finals.
Wow. That is a tough sell. I still don't think that they could beat Golden State. I'm still not sold they're going to win this series. I'm hoping they are. I'm going to sell that one.
All right, then. So let's do that. How about this? Portland is the favorite to beat the Clippers and play Golden State.
All right, that I'll buy.
Staying in basketball and the Warriors, Steve Kerr won Coach of the Year yesterday. It's easy to see why. The head coach of the team that just set the record for most wins and best record in an NBA season. Best team ever? The coach should probably be Coach of the Year. Here's the rub. Kerr missed 43 games this year due to his bad back. That's well over half of the season. If this were Player of the Year and the winner missed 43 games, people would be shouting from the rooftops. But for some reason, people are all on board, despite the fact that Luke Walton actually coached the team this year. I mean, he gets at least a part of the trophy, right? Or maybe we add a Coach of the Year in a supporting role award this year or something like that. Besides all of that, you had a couple of coaches this year who did actually coach all season who have, some said are more deserving, namely Greg Popovich, who led the Spurs to an amazing regular season himself. The prospectus, Steve Kerr does not deserve to win the Coach of the Year award this year.
It's weird because if a player misses time, he's either suspended or injured. With a coach, he still had a lot of input. He might not have been at practice, but he was the one that implemented this system. He's the one that hired Walton. And let's face it, there were a lot of games where Kerr's game plan blew out to a 30-point lead, and Walton didn't have to do all that much coaching at crunch time designing plays when they're up 27 with a minute 42 to go. I'm going to sell that. I'd have voted for Kerr.
So Luke Walton's basically Phil Jackson, right? Just roll out the ball to Michael Jordan and you're going to win games. Jack Nicklaus commented on Jordan Spieth's collapse at the Masters this week, saying that in the long run, it will actually benefit Spieth. The zenith of his point is that Spieth is only 22 years old, and if he had already won two Masters by 22, he would, without question, be at the top of the sport and would likely lose focus on making sure he's sharp for the rest of what looks like a long, successful career. He pointed to the 1960 U.S. Open, which he lost by 2 strokes to Arnold Palmer, saying that if he had won, he likely wouldn't have done all the amazing things he did afterwards because his entire goal was to win that one tournament. Palmer, oddly enough, agreed with Nicklaus, saying that it was hard for him to keep motivated after he won the 60 Open. Still, hard to think winning the Masters could possibly be a bad thing. The prospectus, you buy or sell that losing the Masters will help Spieth in the long run.
1960 U.S. Open. Cherry Hill, Denver, the last time legendary Ben Hogan contended for a major. I don't know why I know that. I just do.
Were you there or something?
Well, I would have been minus 4 months old, so it would have been a tough get. So what was the prospectus again? That losing will help?
You buy or sell that losing the Masters will help Spieth in the long run.
It's, wow, that's a really interesting take because I think Spieth has the makeup where he doesn't lose and go to pieces like Duvall or a guy like Norman. I think he might even win a major again this year. I'm going to use the big P. I'm going to go pending on that one.
Ted, my boy, it's going to be legend. Wait for it.
Wait for
awesome.
It. Mark Cuban made the news this week by saying that Kevin Durant is the only superstar on the Oklahoma City Thunder. He said Russell Westbrook is an all-star, but not a superstar. Let's just throw some numbers out there and let you judge. Westbrook this season, 23 points, 10 assists, 8 rebounds per game, 18 triple-doubles, which broke Magic's record for the three-point era. Cuban said that with guys like Dirk, his guy Dirk, obviously, or Durant, you could throw Larry, Curley, or Mo out there with them and they'd still win 50 games. He says Westbrook is not a guy you can do that with. He's a great player, but not a superstar. Prospectus, Russell Westbrook is among the likes of LeBron, Durant, and Steph and is a superstar in the NBA.
Well, they're talking about the top, that there can only be five.
Top tier, essentially.
So Curry, CP3, Davis, LBJ, Durant. I think what we saw last year, when Westbrook stepped in, when Durant got hurt, went next level, and then this year he averaged 11 assists a game. I think if we had this conversation a year ago, I'd be like, eh. But I think he's just upgrading and upgrading. I think he's joined the elite. So I am. Am I on board?
You're buying that.
I'm buying it. Westy's a superstar.
Cash money. How about some baseball? I'm just going to throw this out there, see if it sticks. Check this out. Jake Arrieta just threw a second no-hitter for the Cubs. In his last 16 regular season starts, 15-0 with a .53 ERA. Safe to say he's the best pitcher in baseball right now. Or is he? He might not even be the best pitcher in Chicago right now. Chris Sale of the White Sox is equally as unreal right now. Well, maybe not equally. This year, he's 5-0 with a 1.66 ERA, has only given up 7 runs, has 32 Ks and 5 walks. Arrieta this season, 4-0, 26 Ks, 6 walks, has only given up 3 runs to have a .87 ERA. So Sale, more wins, strikeouts, fewer walks, Arrieta, better ERA. Pretty insane stuff from both of them either way, but the prospectus is this. After hearing that, Chris Sale, not Jake Arrieta, is the best pitcher in baseball right now.
Right now, Arrieta is Jordan, game one, 92 finals. He's in that zone where he's just looking over and be like, I don't know how I'm doing this. There is nobody that could even, as for the regular season, could even approach what Arrieta is doing. So I'm going to sell that as much as I love Sale.
Side note, this is the first time since 1917 that the Cubs and White Sox were the first to win 15 games in their respective leagues. Also happened in 1903, by the way.
That's awesome.
That's a long
time ago.
That's
a great tidbit, and that is a while ago. If it's pre-U.S. involvement in World War I, it's a long time ago.